real fast before Brother Brad comes and has our welcome, I just want to thank you personally for your support for our students today. And I want to ask you, as they begin to come, you're going to have several to share testimonies this morning. And it's going to be a joyful morning as they do. For a lot of these men and women, it's their first time to ever stand before a crowd and speak. So you're going to hear some nervousness, I'm sure, but that's okay. God will get them through it. I just come and I ask you this morning, as they begin to share with you, that you begin to pray for them as they share, as they sing this morning, but also pray that you will have the eyes of your hearts opened up to what God is saying to you today as we look for life change in our lives. So thank you once again.
Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. Cross my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praise. So glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my death pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high.
I want you to know that I'll try not to keep you here past 11:30. You can be seated. You can be seated. I'll try not to keep you here past 11:30, but it is in my genes apparently, so I can't promise you. This is my first year going to Global, and I just want you to know it was an absolute amazing experience. That's probably going to come redundant once these other youth come up here and speak to you, but I don't know if you've ever done something that you didn't really think twice about, but at the same time, you didn't really understand why you did it. When I was 7, I memorized my very first Bible verse, and it's funny when I think about it now, because I couldn't tell you why I memorized that certain Bible verse then until recently God has revealed it to me. And the verse is Romans 1:16, and it says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is God's power unto salvation for anyone who believes, first for the Jews and then for the Gentiles." And I remember my dad asking me, you know, "Caitlin, why did you memorize that verse?" And I couldn't tell him, you know, I was 7. But he told me, and these are wise words. He said, "One day, God will reveal to you why you memorized that verse." And kids, if there are any in here, dads are always right. So that verse has stuck with me ever since, and I haven't ever forgotten it. But it's funny how God reveals himself to you, because you worry and you stress and you wonder if he's ever going to speak to you. And then one day when you're not expecting it, you're not thinking about it, he really just sneaks up on you. And after Global, everything really just clicked for me. God has been dealing with me personally for a while about what he would have me do for him as a career. I knew in my heart that I didn't want to do something that was my idea, that was something that I wanted to do. I wanted to do something that God wanted me doing, that God was calling me to do. And a couple weeks before camp, Dad asked me for about the millionth, probably the billionth time, what are you going to do after high school? And every time he asked me before that, I would either say something completely different from the time before, or I just didn't know. And a couple weeks before camp, he asked me, and I told him, you know, I think I want to go into missions, and I want to minister to lost children and people in other countries, and even here in America. And, oh, I lost my place. I didn't know why I told him that. I was sitting there thinking in my head, like, why did I just tell him that? But through camp, God revealed to me why I told him that. God spoke to me all week, and, you know, I feel in my heart that's what God called me to do. So the last day of camp, Bobby, who was our speaker, he asked anyone who felt called to ministry to walk forward to talk to your youth pastor. And I walked forward to talk with Brad about what he already knew because we had talked previously. And I'd even talked with Melanie. And every day at camp, I really felt like I couldn't shut up because I would grab somebody new every day to tell them what I felt God was calling me to do. And what he was revealing to me. At camp, I was a family leader, and it's exactly what it says. I taught a small group of girls a lesson for a couple of days, and the last lesson that I taught was the perfect lesson for me. It was God revealing himself to me once again. It really opened my eyes. It was about the special abilities and talents God has gifted you with to use for his glory. Before that, you know, I'd always wondered what my gift or my ability was that God had given me. Because as a child, Dad told me, you know, God gives everyone a talent or an ability to use for him. And I wanted to know what mine was. But like Dad said, when God knows it's right, he'll reveal it to you. So as I was preparing for this lesson, I was reading over the questions, and, you know, one of them asked, what is the ability God has gifted you with? And without thinking, I immediately wrote down public speaking and teaching. I have this passion for drama, and I love being in school plays and productions. And for the longest time, I thought I was going to be an actress, but I knew that's not what God had called me to do. But you know, God didn't give me that passion if he didn't want me to use it in some way. He gave me that passion. He just wanted me to use it a little bit differently. And I enjoy speaking in front of people, and I enjoy teaching people, especially kids my own age, because it's so humbling. And, you know, I get so excited at school when people come up and ask me things about the Bible or about my faith, and I don't think people really realize how excited I get. And, you know, this is where I feel God revealed to me that's why I memorized that verse when I was 7 years old. I'm not ashamed to tell people about Jesus. And if God's calling me into missions, then I can't be ashamed. So God revealed a lot to me through camp. And, you know, I prayed that he would. I prayed that he would speak to me and reveal to me what he would have me do as a career. And God did a lot of that all week. But not just for me. He did it for a lot of these other youth as well. And I want to thank you for the blessing of being able to go to this camp. And I pray that you'll pray for me as I begin to serve God through my calling. And I want to leave you with this verse. It's John 14:21. The one who has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. And the one who loves me will be loved by my Father. I will also love him and will reveal myself to him.
Thank you.
You know, it is a... I'm just sitting here listening, just thinking how much I love these students. And, you know, it's a tough thing to stand here. You know, Satan wants nothing more to rob the glory that God has for us, the blessing through them. And so, you know, we have great leaders in this youth group, in this youth ministry. And Caitlin says she was a family leader. And Addison was a family leader as well while we was there. And I heard great things from the staff there. And so Addison's going to take a minute, and she's going to share a little bit about what all took place with her there. And she's just going to take a moment. She's going to read for you what God put on her heart. For some of us, writing out, you know, even our quiet times, we write out what God's saying. And some of us, we just have a memory, we memorize it. Addison's going to write hers out. And so she's just going to read to you what the Lord spoke to her heart as she was preparing this morning. So just go ahead and read for us, sweetie. You can. Yes, you can. You may read it for you.
Yeah.
I'm going to read it for her. You're not going nowhere, though. She wrote, "On the way to church camp was when I first found out that I was going to be a family leader, which is when we got into our teams, we would break off into even smaller groups or families, and the family leaders would teach the lesson planned out for that day with their family. But when Brad came by to Caitlin and I on the bus and told us that we were going to be family leaders, I was so surprised." And she was. She was like, "I ain't doing it." I said, "Yes, you are." I mean, I could see Caitlin being one, but for me, I was like, no. You know, I thought, "God, I'm not meant to be a leader. There's no way I'm going to be able to do this. I can't teach or even make petty conversation with people. It just doesn't come very easily for me." And I felt like Brad had made a huge mistake, because that's never been something I was cut out for. But see, God had different plans for you, Addison. He knew you were. "Then once I got to camp and started talking to the two girls in my family group and teaching them the lessons, it just started coming out naturally. I knew that God was speaking to those girls through me. I really enjoyed teaching them, and I figured out that that was something that I would want to do a million times over. It was on Monday night when I first felt God tugging on my heart. At the time, I had no idea what was happening. That night and the whole week, Bobby McGraw was preaching on ministry and going into missions. I knew that this feeling was nothing that I have ever felt before, but I wanted to make sure that this calling was from God and not my own idea. So I prayed and prayed all week that God would show me what He wanted me to do. The entire week, when anyone would talk about missions, my heart felt like it was going to burst out of my chest from beating so fiercely, and I would get chills from head to toe. I honestly could not believe that God was calling me, of all people, to go into missions to minister to people. On Wednesday afternoon, I went to the call to missions track time, and one of the camp counselors was telling us that God gives you the passions and abilities you have for a reason. One of my hugest passions is to travel around the world and to go to different countries. Just ask my mom. She don't support her, by the way. We know that's kidding. She says, "Just ask my mom. I've begged her to take me to Europe like a million times. But I truly believe that God has given me the passion to travel so I can go around the world and share His word." Then on Wednesday night, Cam, one of the camp counselors, was telling us about the mission trips he went on to Kenya. As he was praying, he said, "I don't know why I'm saying this, but I pray that anyone who isn't sure they're being called, that you would show them now and that they will listen to you." At that moment, I knew that God was talking to me through this counselor. I had been praying all week to make sure that it was God calling me. On Thursday night, I made one of the most important decisions of my life. Bobby asked all the students who felt that they were being called into the ministry to come up and talk to your youth leaders. And in that moment, I knew for sure that God wanted me, he got real big, me, to share His word throughout the world as a missionary. Whether it's overseas or staying in America, I'm not completely positive yet. I know that it's definitely exciting and totally scary at the same time. But wherever He leads, I'll go. Amen. Right now, I have a really strong desire to be a counselor at Global Youth Ministries next summer. I actually just submitted my application. She said, "I know that in whatever I do, God will be with me every step of the way, and He will support me when I bring glory to His kingdom." And then she wants to read to you a scripture verse that she has marked.
First Timothy 1:12.
Crying's okay, I'll cry.
And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who's enabled me.
She says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Let me get on.
I'd be sharing a little bit of my testimony with you, but first, I'd like to say that Global was really a life-changing experience for me. I loved it, and God really spoke to me there. I was born September 14, 2000. I have two brothers, Dalton and Clayton. They were born in 2002 and 2003, July 15th and September 10th. Usually they're a nuisance. But I'm getting used to it now. I'm getting better at being the older brother to them. But 2004, we were in a car wreck. I thought it was just the worst of luck for me. And I just hated it. I hated my life from then on. When I came to, the first time I came to church, it really changed. Then when I went to Global not too long ago, God really spoke to me. First, 2 days before, I wasn't really up to it, but I pretended to be optimistic to not let anybody worry. So when I went to Global, I just think, yeah, this is going to be pretty cool. And then on Tuesday, the second day, God really spoke to me there, and he opened my eyes. I remember so many verses I wouldn't even try to remember by myself. And my eyes are open. I learned more than I would have learned even if I wouldn't have went to the camp. I'd like to share two verses that really spoke to me. One is Psalm 125, verses 1 and 2. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, who cannot be shaken but endures forever. As the mountains around Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people both now and forevermore. It reminded me that I cannot escape the Lord. At camp, this year's theme was, follow the unquenched fire. The unquenched fire is God's need for us to be with him. And we were talking about Moses and the burning bush and how God was calling Moses. And as soon as Moses heard, he said, here I am. Before I went to Global, God was calling me, but I never said, here I am. I just brushed him off. And at Global, Thursday, I realized why I was in that car wreck, why I survived, and why I'm here today. I was being called to missions, but my gift that he gave me was music. So I couldn't really put two and two together then. Then my counselor, he's a musician, and he said, it's musical ministry. And I thought, that really makes sense. So I could use musical ministry in my missions. And the second verse I'd like to share is one that my dad really marked for me. I don't really know how to pronounce this, Esquisites or something like that. It's 11, 9 and 10. Be happy, young man, while you are young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whenever you see, but know that for all these things, God will bring you judgment. So then, banish anxiety from your heart and cast off the troubles of your body, and your youth and vigor are meaningless. That really spoke to me. I'm glad he noted that for me. it really spoke to me. I thought, this is my life, and I need to make the best of it. And I need to worship the Lord more than I have before I have, before I even went to Global. I was cast away. I was walking in the opposite direction the Lord wanted me to, but ever since I went to Global, I was walking in the right direction. And I really appreciate that all of you have let me go to Global. And I'd like to share a little story of that one. There were two builders. One man built his house on a stone, which had strong foundation, so the wind would not knock it off, and it was too high for a river to reach if it overflowed. And he was very smart. There was a foolish man who built his house on the beautiful beach. Raise your hand if you would build your house on a beautiful beach instead of a stone. But he built his on the beautiful beach right next to the river. The tough rains came and tough winds blew over the land. The man whose house was built on the stone was safe. His house ignored the wind and wasn't knocked over, and his house was too high for the river to reach. But the man who built his house on the beach, his house was knocked around by the waves of the water and was decimated by the wind. His house was left in pieces. And when I heard that story, it really stuck with me ever since I was little. I thought, how come I remember this story? Why is it so important? And then after Global, like 2 days after Global, I figured it out. The man who built his house on the stone followed the Lord's advice so his house would not be decimated. But instead, the man who built his house on the sand where it could be wrecked followed Satan. Instead of being safe, he just wanted to live on a beautiful beach. Once again, I'd like to thank you for letting me go to Global, and it's been a very life-changing opportunity. Thank you.
Gonna go ahead and tell y'all I'm so nervous, but I'm gonna try to be short because I know you're all getting hungry for your Sunday lunch, because I know that's what we look forward to. But anyway, there it is. This time last year I was happy and I felt like everything was going right in my life, and I felt like I was always looking forward to something to do and always trying to listen to God's plans for me. But then my first year of high school came, and I enjoyed the first few weeks. But then after that, things weren't going so great. I started finding out true colors of my friends and had to learn quickly between real friends and fake friends. To add to that, this hard situation for me, my Mimi was dying before my eyes. My Mimi was who I still look up to and how I should live my life. This made it one of the hardest times for me. I didn't really ever show how it affected me, and I just held it in, and my heart started to get hard. Months went by, and I would just put on a smile and face the day, even though I felt and was truly miserable. When Mimi died, it felt like I had lost so much in my life. I just kind of gave up on all hope to be happy again. Then the week before, I was finally excited about something. I was so excited to go to YEC. I got diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. It turned my world completely upside down. And from that point till the very first night of camp, I was just upset, sad with my life, felt like there was nothing that I could do to help myself. But the first night of camp, God opened my eyes and told me it was okay to let it out. You don't always have to be strong. I instantly felt God start talking to me again. I felt him pushing ideas to do service for him through the ministry. Then things started falling into place and ideas clicking in my head. And my zone leader asked me one day, he said, "What do you enjoy doing?" I said, "Well, I enjoy public speaking. I never really give that answer, but I enjoy it." And he looked at me, he said, "That was truly a gift. I'm going to go talk to your youth minister about it." And actually, when we were walking out of the room, I ran into Brother Brad, and he mentioned something about it and said, "I think you could go into the ministry." And then that Thursday night, I had the chance to talk with a junior high girl, and I loved talking to her. Like, it just clicked, and it felt awesome. In the end, I started putting all the ideas together, and it opened up the door, an idea, an opportunity to go into ministry with middle school and junior high kids. And I keep praying that God will open the doors for me, and I ask you to pray with me, pray for me too, and ask for you to pray for all of us as we take our walk with God. But I'm going to leave you with this verse that's helped me through a lot of stuff. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future."
I guess you're wondering what Grandpa George is doing up here in front of you on Youth Sunday. Well, I may not look like a teenager, but I can act like one. I think y'all all know that. As you've heard, there was quite a few life-changing decisions made at camp this year. And there was called the ministry, called the missions. Some were called just to step up and be leaders, to step out, to lead in the youth department, be leaders at school, in the community, to encourage one another and step up. Three of our youth decided that they would make the ultimate decision. They accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And that was amazing. We need to be praying for these youth too. During the week, I saw youth that were usually pretty quiet and reserved speaking up, speaking out. During their free time, I saw them helping each other memorize scripture, having Bible study together, praying with each other, encouraging each other. I heard them talking about what they were going to do when they got home, how they were going to serve God in the community, how they were going to make a difference in school. You could see a passion. You could see a fire for them to serve the Lord. Something that you don't see every day. Well, this is my third trip to Global. And every year, it seems like, the youth will get fired up. They'll have a passion while they're there. And I've even heard them say it after they get back. I wished I could feel like I did when I was at youth. But 2, 3, 4, 6 weeks after they get back, they've lost it. It's just business as usual. Well, I wondered, why is that? What's different? We have the same God in Florida that we do in Tennessee. Why does it have to be like that? Well, I thought about it, and at camp, Global is very structured. From 7:15 in the morning to 11 o'clock at night, these youth are in the Word of God. They're being taught the Word of God by young men and women who love the Lord. And if they're not in the Word, memorizing Scripture, they're surrounded by like-minded Christians, by youth that don't trash talk, that love the Lord. They're not distracted by video games, Xbox, texting, twittering, trash that's on movies on TV and negative newscasts all the time. There's no distractions there. That's the difference. And I think you can see that there's been a change in them. We want to keep it like that. So what can we do? How can this be? The Lord speaks to us in a lot of different ways, but He spoke to me through His Word. He sent me to this verse in this scripture in Deuteronomy 11. I think it's Let me find it. It's 11:18. This is the Lord speaking. He says, fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you get up. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children will be many. The difference is global, and here, I think, is we can see what's going on. Parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, brothers, sisters, butchers, bakers, candlestick makers, church. We need to teach these students daily. We need to be the example. We need to be the disciples that God called us to be when we accepted Him as our Savior. Do we do that? I don't think we do it continually, but we need to. Our youth need to see us when we're in church standing up with open Bibles at the reading of God's Word. They need to see that. They need to see that Bible in our hands. When we sing praises, they need to see us making a joyful noise. They need to see us worshiping God in spirit and in truth. They need to see us encourage one another and them. And we can do that. But they also need to see us on the streets, not just Main Street, but the back streets, helping the needy, feeding the poor, reaching out to the lost, making a difference, not only here, but in other places, but starting right here in Henderson. We need to build each other up and show them and teach them the love of God daily, hourly. We don't want this passion to die. There's a student sitting beside me that's going to college in Florida this fall, and he's going to make a difference when he's there. He's going to play football, and everyone on that football team is going to know he's a Christian because they're going to see him pray and they're going to hear him pray. We've got another youth that's graduating that's going to speak here in just a minute. He's walking on a campus in East Tennessee, and not only by the way he acts, but his words, people are going to know that he's a Christian, and you can also see it on the countenance on his face. We've got youth back here in the 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th grade that are smart enough to legislate laws better than that, than what our congressmen do in Washington, D.C. And I know for a fact that they can make better decisions than our Supreme Court. That's a fact. So, Brother Brad didn't tell me what to say or why. I don't know why he said what he did when he first got up. But we need to be the church in this community that makes a difference. So let's just don't be sitters. Let's be doers. Let's be goers. Let's show these youth who we are and grow them up to be what God made them to be. And it's up to us to teach them. Thank you.
Well, you know, they always say they save the best for last, but that's not the case this time. All right, I'm gonna share a little bit of my testimony and some things that happened at camp and a couple other things. All my life I've been an opposite kid, I call myself. Been different than everybody else. I don't know why. I mean, that's just the thing that God called me to be. But when I was 10 years old, I was saved, and God set a fire in my heart. And throughout the years, I kind of fell away from the Word, fell away from prayer. I'd pray every night, but it became a thing where it wasn't meaningful to me. It was just like a job. It was something I did. As I went on through school, 7th, 8th grade, fell away even more. 9th grade, more. 10th grade, I started driving. And I made a promise to one of my friends sitting back here in the choir. I said, when I start driving, I'm going to start coming back to church. And he said, okay, so I'm looking to see you there. And he don't know how much he's changed my life just by saying that he wanted to see me here at church. And that's Heath Graves. I came here because he asked me to come here. And it was the best moment of my life when I came back here. I started getting back into God's Word. And that fire just got bigger and bigger. Wasn't no way to put it out. I mean, sometimes the fire gets smaller, but it never recedes. It never goes away. It's always there. And then as we went to camp, a couple weeks before we went to camp, I missed church a couple weeks, and I said I was being convicted of that. And then as we went to camp, I was convicted even more. And then I started realizing they put me in a family leader group, or I was a family leader position, and I was leading my family. Basically, that's what they are to you. They're your family. By the first day you're there, they're strangers. The second day you're there, they start to feel like brothers and sisters. By the end of the week, you love them as much as you love anybody else in your family or around you in this world. And you feel like you're close to them, and you want to cry when you leave because you're that close to the people and you make that much of a difference in their lives. And through that, the first time that we were there that I got to share with my family was it was a quiet time, and we read over our quiet time, and then we shared it with our family group. The family leaders did. So the first day of quiet time was over excuses, and it was about when Moses was taking them out of Egypt, and he said that who am I that I am to lead all these people? He said, I'm no one, is basically what he said. And God said, well, I've chosen you. He said, I will prepare you. I will lead you your way. And he kept making excuses as to why not do that. And I think every day in our lives, every one of us makes excuses, no matter who we are, what kind of life, Christian life we lead. We always want to make an excuse. And I found myself when I was down there that all this time I've been making excuses as to why I wasn't speaking up, why I wasn't saying anything. I was too scared, or I just didn't want to say anything because I was scared. I didn't know what I was talking about. And there's a verse. Let me find it here. In Exodus 4:1, it says, what if they do not believe in me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? I think so many people look at us and say, you're a Christian, but what are you looking up to? I mean, you can't see your God. But I see my God every day in the love that people show. And this bracelet I got on says, God is love and love is real. God is love and love is real. And through that, I mean, that's powerful. Every day I look down and see this bracelet, and it just reminds me it's another reason to be in the Word and to love God and to love others. And God has blessed me with a big heart and a big mouth, and sometimes that gets me in trouble. But I like to talk, and that's just all these excuses we make, and I've made them all my life as to why I wouldn't talk to people, why I didn't want to talk to people, and then God kept pushing me. No matter what, eventually God's going to get his way. You may push him away, but eventually God's going to inch his way into your life, and change you so you can change others. And then right here in the excuses of quiet time that I put on here, it says, I wrote down, God has blessed me with a big heart, athleticism, a big mouth. I said, God has called me in many ways, some in which I stood up, some in which I didn't. Some in the ones in which I didn't, some that I wish I did. So I wish I have come to learn that God gets his way no matter what he wants, sooner or later, he'll get it. He has no time for excuses. With a God as awesome and as mighty as he is, why should we make excuses? He shows us every day and many, 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 many blessings a day. You can't even count the blessings of one day, much less your whole life, of how many he'll bestow upon you. So why should we question his authority? It says, spread the word. This is my personal challenge, God first. And I want to say the next song coming up says, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. And I think that's, no matter where we are in our walk, I think we all need to say that. Open the eyes to my heart, Lord. Open it up. Here I am. Here I am to worship. Here I am to talk about you. Here I am to tell my friends. Here I am to preach to the lost. And here I am to show your love. And that's all I got.
I'm going to be reading out of Exodus 3:1-7. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, I just thank you for all that you've given us. I just thank you for this wonderful morning that we've come to praise you, Lord. Just thank you for all the testimonies that we've heard this morning, Lord. And just pray that you be with them and move in the rest of this youth's heart, Lord, as in mine. Just be with all of us as we go throughout this next week, Lord, and just bring us back on Wednesday and Sunday, Lord, and just keep the fire burning in the youth, Lord, and hopefully the youth will spark a fire in some of these adults, Lord. And it's in your name I pray. Amen.
Well, I have some good news and some bad news for you. The good news is I did not eat breakfast this morning.
Well, I'm hungry, so I'm not going to keep you long. The bad news is you might hear my stomach growl just a little bit. But, wow, what a service we have. Can you hear me? Is that coming through? Okay, it don't sound like it. I'm going to be very quickly because I know we have to prepare to go, but you know, I want to take a moment to just encourage our youth. You know, we do have a great set of students behind you, great young men and women. We have one of the greatest youth ministries, I believe, in all the county, probably all the state. And we have some young men and women who love the Lord, who have that desire to go after that unquenchable fire, as Brent was talking about a while ago. And they just need encouragement. They need help along the way. You know, we stopped at a convenience store on the way home. And as we stopped there and took a restroom break and got a snack and things of that nature, we got on the bus and Dad was the last one in, and he come out and he said, I want to tell you that the lady there, the cashier, said she's had many bus groups to stop by this convenience store over the years. And she said that was the most respectful group of students she's ever had come through this convenience store. And that's just I don't know how many of them even know that, but that's just that's just a testimony in who they are in Christ Jesus and who they are in their lives, and a testimony for some of you parents and grandparents who are helping them through life. You know, and that's what we need to do. Kind of Matthew, I had a message planned this morning as I gave you the scripture. We're not going to take the time to go through that. Maybe Brother Brad will allow me a Sunday near future to share again, because it's an important message on just what Matthew is talking about, the excuses we have in our lives and how they are just rendering us to not be who we're supposed to be in Christ Jesus. You know, God created us with that gift and plan. I'm constantly reminding our students of this. You were not created by mistake, none of us. God don't make mistakes. He gifted you. He gave you the talents and abilities He gave for a reason. You know, we don't lose our passion as we come back from camp. We allow other things to consume that passion that God had given us through that week. We don't lose it. We let other things take it over. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You know, ministry, the Christian walk, who we are in Christ Jesus can't be something we do. It has to be a way of life. And so many times it's just become something we do. It's just something we get through the week. It's something that we go and do. It's our country club that we come to. But it cannot be. It has to become a way of life. It's who we are. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and he will not, when he is old, he will not depart from it. I'm guilty, and I believe a lot of you fathers and a lot of you parents, your grandparents are guilty. I spend hours upon hours a week training and helping my daughter in her passion of rodeo, planning and on phones and doing things for her. And I'm guilty, and I stand and I look before my God, and I don't spend quite as much time Bible studying. You know, I envision fathers standing out at the basketball court, and they're working on the three-point shot. They're working on the free throw shots. The mother's saying, come in for supper. Wait a minute, we've almost got this down. Give us just a few more minutes. Where is that for the gospel, for the word in this America today? Train up a child in the way he should go. I'm guilty. I stand before you guilty today, but I stand before you realizing that America is only going to be as strong as its families. America is only going to be as strong as its families. This church body is only going to be as strong as its families. It don't lay on the preacher's shoulders. It's on the family's shoulders. And we're only going to be as strong as our families are. So I come to you today and I ask, are you going to make that commitment in your life? We have these students, and they are so eager, and they're so ready. You can just see it busting forward in them, and they're ready to, as you've heard many saying, to conquer hell with a water pistol. But they have to be encouraged. And a lot of times, their biggest adversary is their parents, their grandparents, the church body. We can't be that. We have to be an encourager in their life. We have to help them realize that their ministry. My prayer has been for years that we will not be a youth group, we'll be a youth ministry. And you're a youth ministry when everyone's welcome. And everyone can come in and be a part. And they feel loved, and they feel a part, and they feel like they have a place and a belonging. It's not a social club. It's my prayer. And we're doing that. And over the years, I see as it's evident in the lives of these students that come and share. They all had opportunity. Those who volunteered come and shared. And you see that in their life, that they want that ministry in their lives, but it has to be encouraged. We have to have it priority number one. And I had that list of excuses, Matthew. We had five of them we're going to look at this morning, but we'll do that another day, that we use in our lives to keep us from being who we're supposed to be in Christ Jesus, from being who we're supposed to be as a Sunday school teacher, because we see the void, but we don't want to step up to go on that mission trip, to be that godly role model in their life, to teach them God's Word day in and day out. And so maybe, as I said, we'll get to look at those excuses later on. But this morning, I want to ask you this important question. You've heard these students. You've heard them come. You've heard them share. And you even heard in the prayer, whether you're 15, 25, or 85, that God would open your heart today. Has there ever been a time that you've realized that you're a sinner? Totally separated from God. Do you realize today that if you were to die, that you have never took the opportunity to allow Jesus to be your Savior, you're destined for hell. Hell's a real place. Jesus is very clear about it. Go to his teachings. It's real. And so today, do you need to come and do you need to get that right in your life? Do you realize that you're a sinner separated from God and that only means is God's grace and through our faith in Jesus Christ, because he willingly come and shed his blood on an old rugged cross, that he went to a tomb. 3 days later, he rose and conquered death, hell, and the grave. And right now, he's at the right hand of the Father interceding for you and I. He's ready to say to God, my blood's got that. Where are you today? Do you have that relationship? Do you know you got it? And secondly, if you do, what are you doing with it? One of the questions I was going to have for us today as we looked at our message was, is Satan happy? Our enemy Satan, is he happy with your life right now? Is he happy with where you're at in your walk with Jesus Christ? I know he's not happy with these young men, these young women right back here, because they are ready to tell the world about Jesus. And they got to be encouraged. They got to be lifted up. They have to have it at home. Folks, we have to help them realize that their relationship with God's a priority. It's not something they do. It's got to be a way of life. And we have to live it in front of them. Don't be mad at me today if you don't like this. Go here and be mad at God. Be mad at Jesus. Because I'm just sharing you what this is very true and clear. There's no, you know, something I share with the youth regularly, there's no gray areas in the Bible. We make them. You know, there's black and white. And there's a fine line between it. We want to take a magnifying glass and we want to make it gray. There's no gray areas in God's Word. It's black and white. I seen a quote this past week that said, let's just call sowing our wild oats exactly what sowing our wild oats are, and that's living in sin. It's time we quit making excuses and saying they're just young. We all did it. It's time that we help them realize that there is a better way out there in their life, and it's built on Christ Jesus. And so I want to ask you, are you ready to make that commitment today? Are you ready to say that no longer are we going to let deception and the evil ways of Satan take over in our families? We're no longer going to allow and justify our lack of desire for God's Word in our homes to be justified by anything. And we're going to put God's Word first and foremost back in our homes. And we're going to make a stronger America. We're most importantly going to make a stronger church, because we're having stronger families. Let me pray with you really quickly. And then after I pray, we're going to have a time of invitation. And guys, I want you to be encouraged. If you made a decision at camp, I want you to come forward and share that with us today. Maybe you've not didn't go to camp. Maybe there's something else in your life that you made a decision on. I want you to come and share that with us today. Church, I want you to come. I want you to share. I want you to come and kneel and pray for these students. I want you to come and kneel and pray for your home. Fathers, I desire nothing more to see you in this altar today. And let's give our all to Jesus Christ. And let's make that commitment that it's going to be a way of life, not something we do. Father God, Lord, I come and I thank you and I praise you this morning. Lord, I'm so thankful for these students. So thankful for the upbringing that is in their life. Lord, I'm thankful for the strong families. But Lord, as we shared, as my own daughter shared it at camp, Lord, one of our biggest enemies to giving our best is just our own selves and just being good enough. Lord, I pray that being good enough is not where we will settle on contentment. I pray that we will see the areas in our life, Lord, that, yeah, we're better than so-and-so, or we're doing this right and we're doing that right, but Lord, we'll see that we still ain't giving you our best, and we will commit to be a family that will be built upon the principles of your Word and bring a stronger church forward. Lord, I don't know what's going on in the lives and the hearts of each individual here, but Lord, I pray today, if there is someone here in need of Savior, Jesus Christ, Lord, today will be the day of salvation in your life. Lord, undergird them with the boldness and strength to make that known today. But whatever decisions need to be made, we just give you glory and we just ask your will be done in it all. And we just lay it at your feet. And we just pray this in the magnificent name of Jesus. Amen. Brother.